Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
First, I give thanks and glory to God for this opportunity to worship together with the brothers and sisters of Nice Kids congregation and share His word. Today, August 15, is a meaningful day for my homeland, Korea. The day in 1945, 81 years ago, we gained liberation after 36 years under Japanese rule. It was the day we regained the freedom and sovereignty that had been taken from us. As we live in this world, we often lose the freedom the Lord has given us. Jesus died on the cross, so our sins would be forgiven and we would be set free. Yet we sometimes become slaves again to sin or to rules of our own making. And around us, many people and nations are still fighting to regain the freedom they have lost. I pray that today, through words of God and the Holy Spirit, we would remember that and enjoy the freedom God has given us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And I pray we would share the freedom and blessing with those around us who need it. Today, I want to preach on the duty of all mankind and reflect together on God's will for us in this age. The word God gives us today is Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Yes, it's important, so now prepare the word of God. And chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let's find the passage and read it together slowly, thinking about its meaning. Ready? Let's read all together. The words of the preacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. "Meaningless, meaningless," says the teacher. "Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Who spoke these words? Tradition holds that the author of Ecclesiastes is Solomon. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, calls him the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Some scholars, however, such as the conservative German Old Testament scholar Franz Delitzsch, argue the book was written later after the exile, by an unnamed sage. Since its Hebrew shows trace of Persian and Aramic influence typical of that later period. Whoever the author, what matters most is what God says to us through this book. The teacher recorded the core truths he came to understand about life. Today, I want us to look at four of those lessons. The first lesson is life without God is completely meaningless. The teacher could have said once that life is meaningless. Instead, he repeats the word five times in a single verse. The King James Version renders it, vanity, vanity, vanity of vanities, said the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The Hebrew words behind this is hevel, means vapor, breath, or vanity, repeated 5 times in the original text. Habel habalim, amar kohelet, habel habalim, hakol habel. Whichever translation you read, the message is the same. Life truly is meaningless without God. And the preacher does not say this only once at the opening of the chapter 1. He repeats this same theme throughout the whole book. All of human life, all that happens on earth is meaningless. Chapter 1, verse 14. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Pleasure and enjoyment people seek is meaningless. Chapter 2, verse 1. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good, but that also proved to be meaningless. Even labor and hard work is meaningless. Chapter 2, verse 19. They will have control over all the fruit of my toil into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. That is too meaningless. Wealth and abundance is meaningless. Chapter 5, verse 10. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. Even what we remember at the moment of death is all meaningless. Chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. Can you read all together? Dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to the God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, as a teacher, everything is meaningless. The first lesson God teaches us is this. Without God, everything in life is meaningless. I pray that we would realize that everything under the sun is meaningless, and that instead of chasing what is meaningless, we would become people of God who pursue what is truly meaningful. So, is the teacher only telling us that everything is meaningless? No. After showing us this, he leads us to the truth he really wants us to understand. Let's look at the next lesson. The second lesson is, God's gift is satisfaction and joy. Chapter 3, verse 13. That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil, this is the gift of God. Chapter 5 and verse 19. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions, and the ability to enjoy them and to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. So, if we have food to eat, clothes to wear, and a place to live today, we should recognize them as gifts from God. We should receive them with thanksgiving and learn to rejoice in the work He has given us. Being content with our present situation is a gift from God. Some people are never satisfied even when they have already have enough food, clothing, and shelter. They compare their lives to people who are wealthier and can never be satisfied with their life they already have. According to a 2021 World Bank report, roughly 826 million people worldwide, nearly 1 in 10, live below the $3 a day poverty line, struggling just to secure basic meals. I ask AI, which country most people in the world want to live in? It ends, answer is already comes. I did one by one, but Gemini says, for its environment and welfare system, Canada. Microsoft Copilot, Finland, for its safety and public services. ChatGPT, the United States, the most desired destination according to the Gallup. And Switzerland ranked best to actually live in. But are the people in these best and most desired countries truly happy? I have a friend from my home Korean church who has lived in Canada for over 20 years. When I visited him 2 years ago, I asked, how life was these days here? He answered, it keeps getting harder than before. There are more and more immigrants, prices keeping rising. Canada isn't what it used to be anymore. God truly wants to give us a precious gift today, a heart that knows how to be satisfied with our own lives. We believe that our satisfaction is only in our God. Psalm 119, 57. You are my satisfaction, Lord, and all that I need. So I am determined to do everything you say. Many of us know this song, In Christ Alone. Anyone knows this song? Can we sing together? In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, formed through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, he is my love of Christ, I stand. Amen. My prayer is that we would learn to be satisfied with who we are, share the blessings God has given us, enjoy his gift with thankful hearts, and put his love into practice. The third lesson is the whole duty of mankind is this. Fear God and keep his commandments. Chapter 12, verse 13. Can we read all together? Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. Now all has been heard. The teacher has explained the whole of life. Now gives us his conclusion. This is what God requires of every human being. This is what all of life is about. This is the very purpose for which we were created. This means we are called to two things. First, fear God. Second, keep his commandments. The first duty is fear God. The meaning of fear is to worship God with reverence and trembling. The first duty of every human being is to worship God. One theologian defines worship as meeting with God. Listen carefully. If we have not met God during a time of worship, it is as if we did not worship at all. Worship is relying on the blood of Jesus' cross, repenting, coming before God's throne, giving glory to the Holy God, and receiving comfort and power from the Holy Spirit. Because worship is a person meeting with God. John 4:24. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. We must worship at set times, and at the same time live a life of worship in our daily lives. Not only gathering together to worship on Shabbat, but also worshiping God personally at home, so that our whole life becomes a living sacrifice. So, to fear God means to meet him in worship, to give him glory, and to walk with him every day of our lives, offering everything we have to him. I pray that each of us would live with this kind of reverence for God. The second duty of mankind is keep his commandment. The Bible speaks of many commandments, but they can be summarized in two. First, the great commandment, and second, the great commission. The great commandment is Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." The heart of this passage is love. First, love God. Second, love your neighbor. To love God, we must be with him, not only in worship, but every day, walking consciously in his presence. We must train ourselves to live by faith. Coram Deo, before the face of God. Can we say all together? Coram Deo, before the face of God, before God. My prayer is that we would meet God in worship, love him deeply, receive his love, and share the same love with those around us who need it. The second great commission, Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. There are four verb forms in this passage. Which one is the main command? When I read it, you find it. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The answer is yes. Thank you. In Greek original, three of these verbs are participle, and only one is an actual imperative, true command. That command is? Yeah, you are very humble. You see the difference, right? Yeah. Make disciples. This is why the church emphasized discipleship. And why the discipleship also appears in United Congregation's mission statement we see today, the deeper discipleship. Go, porusentes, participle, baptizing, baptizontes, teaching, didaskontes, but make disciple, matetiusate, make disciple. To make disciple, we go and teach, baptize. Go. Where should we go? We must go to our neighbors who have not yet heard the gospel, to the nations who do not yet know Jesus Christ. Who is responsible for carrying out this ministry? Verse 19 says, "Therefore go." Notice that all four Greek verbs used here are in the second person plural. It doesn't use singular you, but the plural, you or. This teaches us that the work of God's kingdom is not something we do alone. It is something all of us must do together. We should cooperate with each other to carry out the Great Commission. The fourth and final lesson. God will judge everything. Chapter 12, verse 14. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. All of us will one day stand before God. We do not know the day, but we know for certain that we will stand before Him. On that day, God will judge everything about us, every deed, every hidden thing. We may not know, but the Almighty God knows everything, and He will judge accordingly. For unbelievers, that day of judgment will be a time of punishment. But for God's children, it will be a time of receiving God's comfort and reward. So while we live in this world, we must remember that we will one day stand before God. We should prepare for that day and look forward to it. Conclusion. We live in a unique and difficult time. Wars continue in various regions, including the land where we live. The whole world is suffering under extreme heat, and the ice caps at North and South Poles are melting. We are living in an age when the future is uncertain and unsettling. In the midst of all these challenges, let us remember the four lessons the Lord speaks to us through Ecclesiastes. When God is absent, everything in the world is meaningless. But even in the midst of this, there is something meaningful. God's gift of satisfaction and joy in the present. The duty of all mankind, which God speaks to us through the teacher, is to fear God, that is to worship Him, and to keep His commandments. That means loving God love our neighbor, and carrying the love of the cross and the gospel to our neighbors and to the end of the earth. All of us will stand before God. At that time, all our deeds and all our hidden things will be judged. My prayer is that we would not fear that day, but instead prepare ourselves to look forward to standing before God. And on that day, we would all hear His word. Well done, good and faithful servant, and receive the reward God has prepared for us. Amen.